This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Singapore is one of the most impressive cities we have ever visited. Like, where else can you have $4 Michelin-level street food, sip cocktails in a rooftop jungle bar, and swim sky-high in an infinity pool that looks like it belongs in a sci-fi movie? Well, if this is your first time visiting Singapore, then this video is for you. We're going to show you where to go, what to eat, how to get around, and also offer some cultural tips that will help you feel confident from the moment that you land there. And we're breaking it all down from a first-timer's perspective with travel tips to make your trip smoother, including a few surprises that made our four-day trip unforgettable. And stick around until the end because I'm going to list out a bunch of general tips that any first-timer will want to know. If you're new to the channel, my name is DeAndre. I'm a financial advisor by trade, and along with my fiance, Taryn, we love to explore the world and share luxury hotel reviews, destination trips, and travel experiences designed to help elevate your adventures. If that seems like your vibe, hit the subscribe button and stick around. I also host a weekly podcast that's consistently ranked in the top 100 of travel podcasts, where we dive into how we use points and miles to unlock a lot of our luxury travel, from $10,000 business class flights that we got for less than the price of economy, to staying in five-star hotels for nearly free, and we often bring on incredible guests that help you learn how to travel smarter. If you want to check that out, you can scan the QR code on the screen or click the link in the description to check that out. Now, this video is actually part two of our Southeast Asia adventure. We spent the first 2 weeks in Bali, and now we're diving into how we did Singapore in four incredible nights just before we went home. So from hotels and hawker food stands to the nightlife and etiquette, these are all things that first-time visitors are going to want to know. So let's get into it. So first off, the Changi Airport isn't just a place to land. It's a full-on destination and experience all on its own. You can spend a ton of time exploring the Jewel, the massive entertainment complex that's connected to Terminal 1. So between the world's largest or tallest indoor waterfall, lush rainforest garden vibes, and high-end shopping, it's hands down one of the most unique airports that I think we've ever been to. So if you do have a long layover or just some time to kill before your flight out, it's something that you're definitely going to want to take some time to explore. There are nap pods, spas, movie theaters, plenty of lounges, especially if you're traveling in business class, and even a butterfly garden inside the terminals. You can actually easily walk from the terminals to the Jewel via covered walkway, and there's plenty of signage to tell you where to go. So pro tip, if you're flying out of there, give yourself an extra 2 to 3 hours just to explore and enjoy the airport so you can really take it all in. Also, try to visit as soon as you arrive or during your visit, as the waterfall actually runs between either 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. or 11 a.m. and 10 p.m. depending on your day, and you don't want to have a departure that's super early in the morning and miss out on all of the fun. Now, taxis in Singapore are super affordable, and ours was about $30 into town to get to our airport. But yes, their public transportation is also excellent, and we're going to get to that in just a second. The first place we stayed was called the Clan Hotel, and it was just outside of Chinatown. It was super classy and had this slick, unique, modern, like Kingsman vibe, if you remember those movies. But also, it was just outside of Chinatown, and it was walking distance to hawker centers, plenty of restaurants, and more importantly, it was just outside of an MRT subway entrance, essentially. So for first-timers, just a quick tip, if you're not going to use Grab or taxis, you can actually pick up an EasyLink card or a tourist pass so you can ride the buses and trains pretty seamlessly. Or you can do what we did and simply use your Apple Wallet and pay every time you enter and exit the turnstiles. It's super easy. You just get your card ready on your Apple Wallet. You tap it when you enter, you tap when you exit, and everything's super easy to understand and flow. You can even use Google Maps to help you understand exactly what train lines you want to get to. It's very, very easy to navigate the city. So day one, which was the day we landed, we hit Chinatown hard after checking in. We're talking street food stalls, Korean barbecue, hot pot, you name it. And also the hawker centers you've heard about, they're the real deal. And just so you know, they're government regulated, they're super clean, and the food is both safe and delicious. There's no need to worry about getting sick. So just follow the locals and look for the stalls with the lines. That's probably going to be some of the best food. But also know they can get crowded and are usually open air, which in Singapore, even at night, it means it gets really hot in there. So it can actually get pretty uncomfortable due to just the heat and how crowded it gets. So if you're wondering what to try first, my recommendation is chicken rice because that's the national dish and for a good reason. You'll also want to try or sample at least satay, chili crab, and laksa. But in general, Singapore street food is cheap, it's spicy, and it's full of flavor, and you really can't go wrong. It's fantastic. That night, we visited a bar called Off Track. It's ranked on Asia's 50 best list of bars. There's a live DJ, great lighting, and one of their drinks has like a matcha milk tea aspect, which was utterly incredible and really made for a fantastic way to end our first day in Singapore. So for day two, we started at Gardens by the Bay, and that's those giant super trees that look like something out of the movie Avatar. So entry to the outdoor gardens and the super tree grove is completely free, but things like the skywalk and other options have an entrance fee. I would recommend that you spring for the skywalk. It's breezy and the views are really nice. It's super short, and if there's a lot of crowds down below, it can be nice to escape the crowds and just enjoy the breeze. From there, we decided to take a taxi. Honestly, we just wanted some great air conditioning and went to Arab Street and Haji Lane. So this area is full of colorful murals, quirky boutiques, and the stunning Sultan Mosque. It's a great reminder that Singapore isn't just this super futuristic city. It's also deeply cultural. And just as an added tip, if you're visiting the temples or the mosques, you want to make sure to dress modestly like in most countries. So cover your shoulders, cover your knees. They may actually lend you a shawl or a sarong at the entrance if you need to. Now, that night, we wanted to visit another top 50, one of the world's 50 best bars, I should say. And this one was called Jigger and Pony, and it's one of the most famous bars in Singapore. The cocktails by themselves were amazing, the atmosphere was lively, and they even had blankets if you got cold from the AC in there. It's just kind of an added touch, which honestly, the service in Singapore, everywhere we went, was top notch. After Jigger and Pony, we decided to head to Sentosa Island to catch the Sentosa Light experience, which was really this vibrant light cascading walkthrough that you can do. We took the MRT to the harborfront, and then we hopped on the Sentosa Express monorail. All of that was super easy to navigate with Google Maps and also the Apple Wallet and just paying to get everywhere we needed to go. Unfortunately, when we got there, we missed the last show and the lights were just kind of there, but there was really nothing happening. And then the island was surprisingly quiet and kind of eerie. But then we heard some distant music.
So currently in Singapore, and we've found a section of the country that can't find any people by the beaches. There's no one here.
But it's open.
But it's open.
And lit.
And the train took us here, and we're just walking around, and we hear music coming from a distant rooftop bar. So we're literally following our ears and going to try to find where that music is coming from. It's currently almost midnight.
If you don't hear from us,
this went terribly. Yeah. This went very, very badly.
So yeah. Obviously, we not only survived, but we actually stumbled upon a rooftop pool party in full swing. I'm talking lights, DJ, music, people dancing outside and inside the water. It felt like something that you would just kind of see out of a movie because it was totally unplanned, but totally worth it. It actually reminds us that the best memories aren't always things that you just set on the itinerary. Sometimes you just have to get out and explore and follow your ear. One thing to note though, is that the monorail actually stops running at midnight and we kind of got stuck there and we were not having any luck figuring out a way out, including with the rideshare. So I actually decided to go into the hotel lobby and they were able to call a taxi for us, which was thankful. And it was super smooth sailing from there. But just to note, monorail ends at midnight in Sentosa. So if you want to be adventurous like us, there's probably a reason it was kind of like a ghost town. So just a quick dining tip for you as well. So unless you are just going to hawker stands or it's earlier in the day, if there are specific places that you really want to go, make sure to make reservations in advance. Many places get full quite easily and are hard to get into. So it doesn't hurt to make your reservations before you even get there, especially if you want to visit any of the more popular spots, rooftop bars, places like that. And just as a quick pause, if you're finding the video helpful so far, hit that like and subscribe button. We drop travel videos like this all the time, and your support, as always, helps others find videos like these. So for day three, we checked into the Marina Bay Sands. And yes, that is that huge spaceship slash boat shaped hotel. It was a splurge, but the experience floating in the infinity pool overlooking the skyline, it's completely unforgettable. If you want an actual full breakdown of our stay there, from our check-in to the rooftop cocktails, the amenities, all the things to do, and more importantly, if it was worth it, well, we have a separate video link that takes you behind the scenes of the Marina Bay Sands and tells you everything that you need to know about staying there. So after check-in, we went ahead and had lunch poolside, and we decided to take most of the time just exploring this pretty amazing property that is ginormous, honestly. We then went and spent the evening at Native. It's a cocktail bar known for foraging and fermenting their own ingredients, which was another bar on the world's top 100 list. So after dinner and drinks, we actually were able to tour their apothecary-style lab. Think carrot-based spirits and rice wine made in-house. Now, I know it sounds very different, but it was also very tasty, and the way they presented it was fantastic. It was a really great display, and it all came together quite nicely. That night, we caught the famous Spectra Light Show by the Bay. It runs at 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. nightly, and then an extra 10 p.m. show on Fridays and Saturdays. It's totally free and lasts only about 15 minutes. And just as a pro tip, if you want the best possible view, well, then you're going to want to watch it from the Louis Vuitton floating flagship store for the best perspective. After that, we had dinner at Koma, which is a stunning Japanese-style restaurant that's right there in the Marina Bay Sands. I'm talking truffle wagyu sashimi. Enough said. On our last day, which was day four, since we knew we were about to take the long journey back home, we decided to fully relax and just enjoy that incredible pool and the stunning views. And just know that the pool is exclusive to hotel guests only, and you have to actually scan a valid room key card for entry, which keeps it from getting too overcrowded. And no, if you're wondering, you can't buy a paid ticket for entry, but what you can do is you are allowed to go up to the restaurant and have a drink, have lunch, have dinner, whatever it may be, to take in the views. That night, we actually returned to the Gardens by the Bay to see the Super Tree Grove light and sound show. It's free, and the vibe was fantastic. There was actually people just laying down on both the concrete and the grass, just looking up to be able to take it all in. Now, that actually takes place twice every evening, once at 7:45 p.m. and 8:45 p.m., and lasts also about 15 minutes. That said, here's another tip. Don't expect to try to catch like the 8:45 p.m. Garden Rhapsody show and then sprint to make the Spectra show at 9 p.m. The walk is too far. You're not going to be able to make it. So just plan your evening accordingly. If you have reservations, restaurant plans, or a tight timeline and you want to be able to get all of this in, you're going to want to catch those on different days or make sure your times are spread far enough apart. We ended our last dinner at Mott 32. This was a very high-end, fancy Chinese food restaurant, also in the Marina Bay Sands, with wild flavor combos and a perfect send-off before we made our way home very early that next morning. So as promised, here's just some tips if you're a first-time visitor of things that we thought would be helpful to know when we were going there. So first off, the tap water is totally safe to drink, so there's no worries there. Tipping, especially from the U.S. where that's pretty common, that is not expected. So bills often include the service charge already included. As far as money goes, pretty much everywhere you can use your credit card or even your Apple Wallet or Android Pay, but you do want to carry cash for some of the hawker stands. As far as where to stay, the Marina Bay in general is where you want to stay for luxury, high-end shopping and such. Chinatown or Kampong Glam for the culture and honestly the food. Orchard for shopping and Sentosa is a great place for general kind of family fun. From a cultural standpoint, don't chew gum, don't litter, and never eat or drink on public transport. You could be fined. The no chewing gum part is probably my favorite law anywhere in the world because even as from being a little kid, I've never been able to stand seeing chewing gum stuck in places, and this was music to my ears. You're going to want to pack light and breathable clothing. Singapore is hot. Singapore is humid, and that's all year long. Lightweight clothes and a portable fan can actually go a long way, so just come prepared for a pretty intense heat. You're going to want to download some useful apps as well. Get Grab for rides, City Mapper or Google Maps to help you with the transit, and then Chope for restaurant bookings can save you a lot of time and stress as well. I already mentioned this, but reserve top spots in advance. A lot of popular bars, restaurants, and attractions book up quickly, so make sure your reservation is a few days ahead. You could get lucky with some short-term notice, but that's going to be really difficult. Unless you really love the heat and crowded spaces, I would highly recommend to arrive early to hawker centers. They get crowded very fast, lunch and dinner rushes are real, and going just before peak times can help you snag a seat for one and also avoid long lines. So to wrap this one up, Singapore packs so much into such a small footprint. It's got culture, innovation, nature, and a level of hospitality that's really, really hard to beat. The city delivers jaw-dropping views and unforgettable flavors without all the chaos that you typically see in a lot of big cities. I hope this guide gives you everything that you need to plan your first visit with confidence and maybe inspires a few unexpected detours of your own. If you like this video, don't forget to like, subscribe, and drop a comment with what you're most excited to check out or any tips of your own if you've been to Singapore yourself. And we've always got more destination trips and hotel breakdowns coming and would love to have you along for the ride. Catch you next time.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.